You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the podcast today, and as you can see, it is a mock draft Monday on the 49er Access podcast. My name is Sterling Bennett. Thank you for joining us on X, YouTube, and Facebook. We're going to do a live My NFL Mock Draft 1.0, and if you're watching on X, YouTube, or Facebook, you can see we have the Pro Football Network Mock Draft Simulator right in front of us on our screens, all set up and ready to go. We are going to be the San Francisco 49ers going through all of their picks. I already have it set up, okay? We are not going to be trading down from 31. We're going to let this thing roll out live, so stick with me here. 7 complete rounds. We're going to talk about prospects, draft strategy, and everything about the San Francisco 49ers today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And let's dive into the first NFL Mock Draft 1.0 as the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to watch this thing live, okay? With the first pick, Caleb Williams, Drake May, number 2, 3 quarterbacks, back to back to back. Malik Nabers goes ahead. Marvin Harrison Jr. If you can't see, I'll zoom in even more. Let me know in the comments. Again, going to go through this thing live with you all the way and wait until pick 31 where the Niners pick in this draft. And look, it's going to be live. We're going to be trades. We're going to dive into and try to get the most authentic feel that we can of the draft. Things are so unpredictable. Like we just saw, Graham Barton goes to the Lions. Many people's picks reject all the trades. We're not trading out of 31. We aren't doing that just yet. Here are our draft boards. Right now, for the people watching, you can see we have Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma tackle, on the board still. Receiver, Florida State, Keon Coleman's there. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Kingsley Sumatea from BYU, and Jordan Morgan are kind of the big top prospects. When you want to talk about offense, whether it's receiver or defensive, or offensive line, defensively, you have players like safety Tyler Nubbin, Darius Robinson, edge rusher out of Missouri, or even Tavondre Sweat, the defensive tackle out of Texas. So if you are San Francisco, what do you want to do here? Do you want to fortify your offensive line? Do you want to get yourself a hopefully day one starting right tackle, make Colton McKivitz your swing tackle behind Trent Williams, behind your rookie in case he falters? Or do you want to add elsewhere? Do you want to add a receiver here? The receiver pool really isn't that great at this moment, or in other ways of saying that, it really isn't a place where I want to draft a Troy Franklin, a Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, a Malachi Corley, who I like Corley, Xavier Leggett's on the board still. I like a lot of those guys. Would I want to draft them at 31? No, I would not. I need a position of need, but also I have to go best player available. Now, if you are a Niner fan, I would like to think that you would want to go offensive line here, especially what happened the past few Super Bowls, where whether it was right guards twice, Spencer Burford this past year and Mike Person a handful of years ago, your right guard has been utterly just been the reason you have lost games. There are other reasons as to why, but a lot of reasons as to why you've lost against the Chiefs twice. Chris Jones, and insert a random blitzer, against your right tackle. Now, I firmly believe that this is John Feliciano's job at right guard, but I also think that San Francisco wants the flexibility to slide McKivitz in or have him be your swing tackle. Now, there is a conversation to be had about the prospects currently on the board for right tackle. Let's go to offense. Let's go to tackle for a second. Tyler Guyton, right? I like Tyler Guyton a lot. There's a lot to be said about Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Of course, it's a great story. Trent Williams, Oklahoma tackle, almost 15 years now. It feels like, you know, 12 years now. And you're getting another Oklahoma Sooner tackle to hopefully replace Trent Williams in a handful of seasons once he retires. I like Tyler Guyton. He's 6'7", almost 330 pounds. He has 34-inch arms. He has the makeup, right? He's kind of a freak athlete of the remaining offensive tackles on the board. He's a great competitor. He's a good teammate. You hear his teammates talk about him. They gush about how great Tyler Guyton is in the locker room, on, off the field. But I will say this, of the tackles on the board, your Jordan Morgans, right? Your Kingsley Sumateas from BYU. I would think Tyler Guyton, while he has inconsistent feet, doesn't always protect his chest, he really is one of the more raw tackles, right? I do think he is someone who would need a year or two to kind of be that anchor on your right side, and they're hoping, at least in my opinion, thinking that whoever they draft at 31, if it's a tackle, can be the heir apparent to Trent Williams. If they're okay with Colton McKivitz sitting, starting this season and letting Guyton sit behind him, okay, that's the move. But you also want to make sure at 31 you're getting the best bang for your buck. And I would like to have an instant starter. Like, this isn't a case of we have two dominant tackles where one guy can sit for a year when Trent Williams walks into the sunset and says goodbye. That's not the case. Like, San Francisco's in a place where they have to upgrade at right tackle and then return upgrade the offensive line, which I don't think Tyler Guyton instantly does that. And as Bobo says here, which Bobo's always in the chat, love Bobo, they want a dominant offensive line built via the draft. I think durability is key. I think getting younger at the offensive line. You have Aaron Banks, who may or may not be here in a handful of seasons. You had John Feliciano, who said this is his last ride, whether with the team or in the NFL. You have Colton McKivitz, who's going to be here for two more years, but are you confident he's going to be one of your tackles? If he is, it isn't the worst thing, but if he is, it isn't the best thing. Then you have Trent Williams and Jake Brendel, who are both in their 30s. One of them is, you know, a year from retirement in Trent Williams, and Jake Brendel's a year away from maybe being out of, or off the team because of his contract. So there's a lot you can do here, but I think if you are San Francisco, you can't afford to let a player like Jordan Morgan and or Kingsley Sumateya from BYU go just to take Tyler Guyton. And again, I like Tyler Guyton. I like him a lot. I do think Kingsley Sumateya is better suited to be a guard, but I will say this. He has an incredible anchor, great core strength, and he's someone that other edge rushers just cannot bull rush, which makes me believe he's better suited to be a guard. That's what brings me to Jordan Morgan, though, because Kingsley Sumateya and Jordan Morgan, more so in this case, they have shorter arms, right? Kingsley Sumateya is someone that his foot technique really doesn't mix well at the tackle position. I like him. Kyle Shanahan is one of these head coaches and coordinators that he doesn't mind having the out-of-the-box offensive line. He doesn't mind having a player that has maybe worse traits or isn't the most physically dominating offensive lineman. Like, Tyler Guyton makes sense. He's a big-bodied freak athlete. I don't think Kyle Shanahan truly cares about those kind of things. He cares about techniques, instant impact. How do you fit well in a zone rushing offense, outside zone rushing offense, like they run? And I think at right tackle, he's on the thumbnail. I would lean Jordan Morgan of the available offensive linemen. I think Jordan Morgan is someone that you point to and say, okay, he has shorter arms, fine. He has like 32 or 33 1/8 inch. Like, it's right on the border of tackle arm length. He's really good in run blocking. He's going to need help being a pass blocker. Let me get my notes here to make sure I get everything correct on him. I don't want to lead you astray in regards to what I think of Jordan Morgan, because I am honestly, when I talk about Jordan Morgan, I have been mock drafting him to the Niners for a long, long time. And I don't want people to think that because, oh, it's the first one we're going off, you know, going randomly. No. Like, Jordan Morgan to me is someone that they've already looked at. He's hyper-athletic. Someone who's hyper-athletic. Needs to improve his run blocking. He has some short arms. But it's what he can do and his ability to change direction, create leverage. Like, it just makes him a no-brainer in the Kyle Shanahan offense where, yes, you have players like Guyton, like Sumatea, who you may like. I like both those players. If they pick him, I'll say, okay, there's a plan in place to sit Guyton for a year, and it makes sense as to why they would extend McKibbitz. But Jordan Morgan, I think he isn't the best run blocker, which could lead Kyle Shanahan to say no. But I do think of the three guys on the board, top tackles, Jordan Morgan makes the most sense. We've all complained about pass blocking Mike McGlinchey, Colton McKivitz. I do think Jordan Morgan would come in and instantly be an improvement over the previous right tackles in the room. Again, still has to improve the run blocking, but I think that's why you have players like McKivitz and John Feliciano. And if you get lucky, he can improve his technique with Trent Williams kind of guiding him and teaching him along the way. So at pick 31, I'm going Arizona tackle Jordan Morgan. Now, I do want to bring this up too because Patrick Paul is still there. I know he's in the 50s kind of pick, but I am someone who I think Patrick Paul, who is also 6'7", 333 pounds, 36-inch arms, has these crazy traits, great athlete. He does lose against power, isn't the best striking on the inside kind of tackle. But if San Francisco wants to go elsewhere in the first round, I would watch out for Patrick Paul to be the second round pick to eventually be the right tackle of this team. I like Patrick Paul. I do think if they tend to go, whether it's receiver, edge rusher, this team will not be afraid to go defensive tackle in the first round. But I do believe that the Niners, if they go tackle, I believe here it's Jordan Morgan, but I would not bet against Patrick Paul being a guy in the second round if they let things go. So let's draft Jordan Morgan here from Arizona. We have our right tackle. Okay, bang. We have our right tackle. It's Jordan Morgan. I love this pick for San Francisco. Keon Coleman goes to the Chiefs. They need a receiver big time because Rashee Rice has himself potentially in a lot of trouble. Troy Franklin goes to the Carolina Panthers. Tyler Guyton goes to the former Niner executive Adam Peters with Washington. Again, I like, despite Guyton going later, despite, there is going to be a run on tackles. San Francisco, to me, is going to have to get one in the first two rounds. I think Jordan Morgan is kind of the knockout, bona fide. This is a Kyle Shanahan kind of guy. Whereas, again, you can point to Tyler Guyton, who I think needs a handful of years, 1 to 2 years, where that isn't the worst thing in the world. It really isn't. But do you have that time to have a guy like Guyton either not get reps and sit behind Colt McKivitz? That would give me the biggest ick in the world if I was a Niner fan. Or you can go Jordan Morgan and say, hey, you can start day one for me. Is he going to be perfect? No, he's not. He'll make mistakes. But I will say this, that is why you have players like Colt McKivitz behind them. Whereas it's a bigger risk to go with Tyler Guyton because he could be a bust. He could be a bust. Of the top tackles, of the many top tackles in this draft, I could argue Tyler Guyton has the most bust potential, but also has one of the highest ceilings of them. Let's look who we have in the second round, pick 63 for the San Francisco 49ers. The Broncos trade up Michael Penix at pick 62. Chris Jenkins, I love Chris Jenkins, Michigan defensive tackle. He goes to the Lions at 61. That would give them DJ Reader and Chris Jenkins. That is nasty. if you are a Lions fan. Max Melton, cornerback from Rutgers, San Francisco likes him a lot, goes to Buffalo. That makes sense. Malachi Corley and Xavier Leggett have both gone in the second round. Patrick Paul goes to the Browns, Corley goes to the Dolphins, and Xavier Leggett goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wow. So Mike McDaniel in this mock draft gets his Deebo Samuel and Malachi Corley, and the Buccaneers add Xavier Leggett, a burner, bigger body receiver that just wants to run through you, next to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Oh my God. Wow, that's scary. Okay, we have our right tackle. We have our right tackle. Oh, Bobo. Bobo's message to everyone watching, don't forget to buy a Powerball, almost $1 billion. Yes, buy a Powerball ticket, almost $1 billion. If you win, use our promo code at SeatGeek.com and save yourself $20 off your first purchase when you go to your next Niner game, Giants game, NBA game, whatever it is, Final Four game, you pick. Use that promo code once you win the jackpot at the Powerball. Okay, back to the mock draft. Okay, you have your right tackle in place. You're sitting at 63. You don't pick until pick 94 in this mock draft. Let's look at the receivers. Already a handful are off the board. Don't need a quarterback. Don't need a running back. I'll tell you what right now. I'm very tempted looking at receivers. Ricky Pearsall is there at 75. I love me some Ricky Pearsall. Some Johnny Wilson is still there. Malik Washington's there. Brendan Rice, who San Francisco seemingly has their eyes on. Jermaine Burton's there. There is a handful of receivers. I do like Jacob Cohen. And Javon Baker, Luke McCaffrey. There's a handful of receivers still on the board that I do think San Francisco would value later in the third round. Let's look at guard for a hot minute, because you already improved your right tackle. Why not look to get yourself another guard? It wouldn't make sense to take one there. I know San Francisco likes Bo Limmer from Arkansas. I also like myself some Bo Limmer. Makes a lot of sense. But I think it's too early to take him. Thus, we turn our eyes towards the defense. And we have ourselves sitting here saying, would San Francisco dare go cornerback? I don't know. They're really, like, players like Andrew Phillips and Mike, I believe it's Sainristil from Michigan, are two guys San Francisco likes. DJ James from Auburn is still there. Chris Abrams Drain is also there. I don't value the cornerback position that high. I don't think San Francisco does either. Jaden Hicks at pick 111 is not going to be on the board at this point, I don't think. And if he is, wow. I also think San Francisco is going to have their eyes towards edge rusher or defensive tackle. This team likes to build trenches, then go out. If you are the Niners, and in this case, we are, what would you do? Would you go defensive tackle? Would you go edge rusher? Because at this moment, I'm thinking, okay, we are going to go defensive tackle. You have Michael Hall still on the board. Braden Fisk is still there. Rook, I believe it's Ororo, which is probably butchering his name, so excuse me. Mason Smith is still there. Mekhi Wingo, man, there's a lot of good defensive tackles here, and you just want to be ahead of that push. Let's go back to edge for a second and talk about Marshawn Nealand, Western Kentucky. Western Michigan, not Kentucky, excuse me. Western Michigan, he's 6'3", 268 pounds. When you talk about an edge rusher that you want to put opposite Nick Bosa, it's a player, an archetype like Marshawn Nealand, who I believe San Francisco has a top 30 visit lined up with. So when you have Marshawn Nealand there at, what, pick 64, right? Or 63, excuse me. Pick 63, he has insane get-off. He can counter almost every offensive lineman's moves. He's someone that will win later in reps, has a high motor. He's got the bend that you want opposite Nick Bosa. You know, San Francisco has been looking for that bend for a long time, whether it was Dee Ford, Drake Jackson. I mean, they have been wanting that speed rusher. They're hoping that Robert Beal Jr. can be that in the future, maybe in a limited role. Drake Jackson's still here, but he may find himself kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to snaps this year if Leonard Floyd, Nitrogross Matos, and Beal, and if they draft someone, which they probably will, take over his reps and step up and replace him. And he's off an injury, so edge rusher, I definitely believe, is still in the conversation here. But I just do think when you look at San Francisco's interior, you have Javon Hargrave, you have Malik Collins, you have Jordan Elliott, you have Kevin Gibbons, you have Khalil Davis. Outside of that, that's all they got. And with the contract Malik Collins currently has, I am someone who believes that they can get out of it next year. No guarantees on the contract. Okay, so it's a two-year deal, no guarantees next year. Jordan Elliott, he's a rotational piece. Kevin Gibbons on a one-year deal. I do think San Francisco would value adding a big-time defensive tackle here, but the question is, what's the archetype you want? Do you want a run-stuffing guy opposite Javon Hargrave, next to Javon Hargrave, to improve your run defense? Or do you want to add another pass-rushing defensive tackle and have this amazing, you know, stellar, this go-get-the-quarterback kind of mindset, which I think San Francisco wants, hence why Malik Collins is now in the building. I don't think Michael Hall isn't a great run defender, which is why, as I sit back, and I get Rukuroro's there from Clemson, but man, Braden Fisk is just a ball. He's a wrecking ball from Florida State. Man, do we go Braden Fisk from Florida State over Michael Hall Jr., over Rukuroro from Clemson? Do we go with the edge rusher? Do we take, like, so here's the gamble you take. If you don't go edge rusher at 63, with who's on the board? You have Brandon Dorlus, Marshawn Neal, and Austin Booker's there from Kansas. And the next guy I'm truly in love with is Muhammad Kamara from Colorado State at 188 on this mock draft. You can get Mo Kamara at 188 or somewhere in that range. Oh, man. But then you go to defensive tackle. You have Michael Hall, Braden Fisk. You have Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo. I think if you're the Niners, I think you draft Braden Fisk. And I think that's who you take. It's just ball of energy. You get your DJ Jones style of guy. You give Chris Kocerek this just monumental, do whatever you want with him kind of piece. Braden Fisk was stellar at the combine. I think he can run, defend, he can pass rush. He's a guy who you just want in your building. And you put him on this defensive line, I think you win. And this is an A+ if he's there on the board for the Niners. Now, again, will he be? Time will tell. These mock drafts are always kind of wonky, right? Michael Penix goes pick 62, which could happen, but it all depends on what happens in the first couple picks and where J.J. McCarthy goes. So we're going to go Braden Fisk here, though. I like Michael Hall. It's tempting. We're going to go Braden Fisk here. The trenches are now fortified. You have your defensive tackle. You have your right tackle. Now, in my mind, my eyes turn toward receiver and cornerback. San Francisco likes their third-round receivers and their third-round cornerbacks. Amber Thomas comes to mind. Unfortunately, Danny Gray comes to mind as well. But let's see where we sit. We're currently at pick 78. Washington just picked. Michael Hall goes 80 to the Vikings. Ricky Pearsall goes 82 to the Colts. Blake Corum goes to the Texans with Joe Mixon. Man, Texans are going to be good this year. I am really excited as to what DeMeco Ryans is building out there in Houston. Really, really excited. We got two more picks in front of us, both Buccaneers. They go Bo Brady, and they also go Bucky Irving, running back out of Oregon. Okay, see, I think we lucked out going defensive tackle, because, well, I do like Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo, both underrated. Smith being a five tech, couple injuries may scare San Francisco away, or if Javon Kinlaw is any example, might steer them towards him. Mekhi Wingo is just an aggressive, amazing first step defensive tackle from LSU, both of them from LSU. Let's go to the edge rushers, though. Okay, so in my mind, we're going to hold off on edge rusher. No one I love there. We're shooting for Mo Kamara at 188. That's who we value. Let's dive towards cornerbacks. We have Andrew Phillips here from Kentucky. Kyrie Jackson. Oh, Kyrie Jackson from Oregon's on the board. Wow. I don't want to get too ballsy here. I'm not going to get, you know, predictive as to what I think Kyrie Jackson could be. But he's built like Richard Sherman. He would fit in a defense like Seattle. He's 6'3", is 200 pounds, almost 33-inch arms. Know how to use his body and use how to use those arms. He's an aggressive tackler. He's physical at the line of scrimmage. He runs a 4.5, which may scare teams away, but he has makeup speed, where if he gets beat downfield, he will get to that ball and knock it away. He's arguably, in my opinion, the best, if not a top five, cornerback at attacking the ball at the catch point. Knows how to invade space. He's a solid press corner. And again, he loves to tackle. Whereas you have someone like Chris Abrams, Drain from Missouri. He's a smaller cornerback. Could go from a 6'3 of a Kyrie Jackson to a Chris Abrams Drain from Missouri cornerback, 5'11", 173 pounds. Great lateral agility, great closing speed, but he is going to get bodied, beaten, and bruised by receivers. He's going to get out physicaled 90% of the time. I also think there is a player here in Andrew Phillips who San Francisco's had their eyes on for a little bit of time. Very physical. He's going to be a nickel cornerback in the NFL, most likely. He's hard to beat vertically. He can play slot, where if you want to have that flexibility, because right now, again, San Francisco doesn't have a second slot or nickel cornerback outside of Lenore. If Lenore wants to play outside and that's who you want to play out there, great. You can have a young player like Phillips slide in and play nickel for you next to Moody and Lenore. He covers receivers, not grass, which I think is great. And again, while he is physical, sometimes he can be a little too grabby for my liking. All that to say, all three of those guys, as of right now, are on the board. Chris Abrams, Drain, Andrew Phillips, Kyrie Jackson. Cam Hart is also there from Notre Dame. Cam Hart, to me, is really grabby. Doesn't have the best back pedal, but does fit the larger cornerback mold, being 6'2", like Kyrie Jackson does. So I would stay away from Cam Hart. I would probably, if he's there, have my eyes towards Kyrie Jackson or Andrew Phillips. But let's go to offense for a second, because I believe Deebo Samuel will be there. Ayuk will also be there. Juwan Jennings is already back. Let's look at a player like Johnny Wilson. Big, tall receiver. He's massive. Massive, I tell you. Johnny Wilson, I like him a lot. I really, really do. Again, he's 6'6", 237 pounds. He's a good enough route runner. He has a fine release at the line of scrimmage. He's not going to make space for himself, but he is someone, because he's so massive at 6'6". Defensive backs, mainly smaller ones in the slot, have a hard time getting their hands on him. All of that to say, for as big as he is, he doesn't really play that physical. Like, there are a handful of times in college at Florida State, he gets jammed at the line, and you're like, how are you 6'6", 237 pounds, getting jammed at the line of scrimmage? Like, that shouldn't happen for as big as he is. Again, not the greatest separator, has a lot of drops, but The physical tools are there. He's huge. Again, he's 6'6", 237 pounds, knows how to use his 35-inch arms. Like, if he was an offensive lineman and he was 6'6", with 35-inch arms, you'd be saying, yes, yes, please get that guy on our offense. But as a receiver, you kind of shake your head and say, what am I missing with Johnny Wilson? Brendan Rice is there. I've already talked about this. I like Brendan Rice. I'm just not super high on him. Like, Niner fans are like, get McCaffrey, get Rice, get Frank Gore Jr., which, okay, fine, like, that's your opinion. I just don't love Brendan Rice. Like, he's someone that I think would need a year, someone that I don't think would play much in the offense instantly, which maybe they're okay with that, and they see more in him than I do, which, by all means, fine, great, like, that's cool with me. I just think he would, like, he's much better in short yardage situations, red zone. Like, I just don't love him as a prospect. When you have a stacked receiver class, like, to me, he's a late day two pick, which would make sense where we're at on the draft board here. We are at pick number 94, but, like, I don't love the receivers on the board if you are the Niners. I know Javon Baker's there from UCF. They like him a lot. I do think that while you don't pick until 124, there's a lot more value at tight end, at cornerback, and I think at the moment, like, you need a tight end. I know they just tried to sign, was it Brock Wright from the Lions? I think it's 3 years, $14 million. The Lions have yet to decide if they're going to let him walk or match his offer because he is a restricted free agent. So we'll see. If that goes through, I don't think they're drafting a tight end in the third round. They're not. But let's say they are for a second. Let's talk about, I believe his name is Ben Sinat. Excuse me, that's wrong. He isn't the biggest guy out of Kansas State at tight end. He's on the board as we speak. Good route runner. He's got some wiggle. He plays big. He has firm hands in a good way. Like, he doesn't drop the ball ever. He's someone that if you wanted to, you know, have him be your tight end two or three, or you just kind of out on Cam a lot too and need that third tight end, now do you draft that guy in the third round? I would say no. But I do like Ben Sinat from Kansas State. All that to say, my mind is going, get a cornerback. It makes the most sense. There really isn't any tackles and guards you have here. You want to get the biggest bang for your buck. If I am the Niners, which again, if I'm Kyle Lynch and I'm, you know, John, or if I'm Kyle Lynch, if I'm Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, I'm looking at two players here of what's on the board, Andrew Phillips and Kyrie Jackson. It's tough because do you want the extra nickel back in your secondary, or do you value a bigger bodied cornerback that fits what you, now you're trying to return to in a Seattle style system that, you know, go back and watch games against Seattle, literally. Ambry Thomas is getting bodied up by DK Metcalf. That's not going to happen to Kyrie Jackson. Now, if the plan is to move Lenore to the outside, okay, like, that's fine. I don't think there's much value in doing that, knowing how great he is. So if I'm San Francisco, I am going to draft Kyrie Jackson, keep Lenore on the inside, have a cornerback room of Ward and Jackson and Yadam kind of as your outside guys, right? Lenore's on the inside. You have Chase Lucas. You have Daryl Luter Jr. Like, you can move guys around. Samuel Womack is still there. I just think San Francisco would value a bigger-bodied cornerback, and I think Kyrie Jackson makes a lot of sense. But now that I say it, that cornerback room is stacked with outside cornerbacks, man. Like, it is lined up with outside. Oh, there's one nickel, and his name is Lenore. They like Chase Lucas. He hasn't played much as a cornerback. Man, did I just talk myself out of Kyrie Jackson? I think I may have talked myself out of Kyrie Jackson. Man. You know what? I think I talked myself out of Kyrie Jackson. Let's go Andrew Phillips here from Kentucky. He plays physical. We like him a lot. It gives you flexibility inside and outside with Lenore. Andrew Phillips is your third-round pick for the San Francisco 49ers. I will say this, though. Kyrie Jackson should not be there in the third round. And if he is, take him. Don't be like me and just say, nah, maybe not. Take Kyrie Jackson. He is stellar at Oregon. And now we're awaiting pick 124. This is where things get nasty as Brendan Rice goes to the Jets. Jaden Hicks, safety. I believe he went, let me see if I can go up here, went to the Colts. Jaden Hicks is going to be awesome. He is going to be, I don't know why he's mocked so low here. He could be a second round pick in my opinion. And he goes in the fourth in this mock draft. So again, stick with me. Stay with me here. Mock drafts are crazy. Like, when I was deciding as to what I wanted to do with the mock drafts, you have PFF. You have to pay for PFF to get mock drafts now. What is this? It's ridiculous. Then you have NFL Draft Buzz, and there's many others. I just wanted the ability to have trades, make it very clear to you guys as to what was going on, have it on my screen, and walk through, because I wanted the most authentic experience for a first mock draft. But I'll be honest with you. Every mock draft simulator, like I was doing a handful last year, right? Putting them on Twitter saying, hey, this is what I think's going to happen. And there were players that were going in the seventh and sixth rounds, going in the fourth and third rounds. And I was like, these things are never right. So again, it's mock draft 1.0. Kyrie Jackson shouldn't be there in the third round. Jaden Hicks should not be a fourth round draft pick. Or Brendan Rice. Like, Kyrie Jackson's still on the board. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing if we are Pro Football Network? Like, oh my gosh. Let's go to receivers now. So you have Luke McCaffrey. You have Javon Baker. You have Taj Washington, who I love. You have Jacob Cowinger coming from Arizona. There's a handful of players there that I do like. Let's look at centers. Bo Limmer is still there. I know San Francisco likes themselves some Bo Limmer. Mason Smith's still there, but you already got your defensive tackle. Mo Kamara looks like he's still going to go later. We have a pick. We have a pick in eight picks, so we can hold off here. We can get a value pick if we will. I don't love the safeties in this class. It's not the best one. Should we take a pick at the running backs? no one's too great there. Let's go Bo Limmer from Arkansas. And let's talk about Bo Limmer for a second. I know people like Jackson Powers-Johnson from Oregon, Christian Jones, who's a tackle from Texas. You have Dominic Puny from Kansas. You have, I think it's Satoa Lamoa. I hope that's right. I'm not great with the Samoan or names like that. I have a hard time saying them, so I apologize if I'm wrong on the pronunciations and the enunciations on these names. But Bo Limmer from Arkansas, he can play center, he can play guard. He's undersized, which stinks, but despite being susceptible to bigger defensive tackles, he's a fighter. And I think if you're the Niners, you see a player that can play center, can play guard, can improve your interior in a year or two, maybe replace Jake Brendel. He'll be a veteran in that system at that point, which Shanahan loves veteran centers in his system. Hence why I don't think he's going to draft a center to replace Brendel this year. He's got good footwork. He's got good hands, and he's a fighter. He's a dog. He is literally a dog. Like he's low to the ground. He's someone you want. Let's go Bo Limmer from Arkansas at pick 124. I don't think he'll be there later, so let's get him now. And let's see what happens as we await. I know there's receivers on the board still. I know there's some linemen we want to get. We have pick 132 and a handful of picks. Hardly any receivers go off the board. Now we're back on the docket. The Dolphins want to trade us pick 158, 184, and 198. But again, we're not making trades today in this mock draft. We're obviously out on quarterbacks. Not going to pick a running back just yet. We'll get to one in a second. Let's look at receivers. You have Cohen, you have Javon Baker, you have Luke McCaffrey. What do we want to do? Taj Washington's still there. Jamari Thrash just went. I mean, he would be phenomenal. Jamari Thrash from Louisville. You know, can get off his breaks. Great at creating separation. Can stop on a dime just instantly. I do like myself some Taj Washington. But again, we pick 132 and 135. This is kind of that luxury pick if you are the Niners. Like, what do you want to do? Let's look at edge rusher for a hot second. Kyrie Jackson's still there. He's still there. If you are the Niners, do you want to go? Mo Kamara, you have some time. Really isn't many more defensive tackles you want to take. Let's see. I don't love many of these guys on the board still. Man, there really isn't. Christian Jones from Texas is still there. Do you want to go two tackles inside the top 32? I mean, it would be maybe smart, but then you have a very cluttered, very, very, very cluttered tackle room. You'd have Jordan Morgan, you'd have McKivitz, and you'd have Trent, and then you'd have Jalen Moore. I mean, man. Christian Jones is certainly on. Certainly has my. I do think he'd be somewhat redundant. To be fair, let's look at receivers. The Niners really, really like themselves some Javon Baker. Let's look at what PFN has as his scouting report. Let's dive into Javon. Oh, coming soon. You gotta love. We're in April 1st, the draft is in three, 4 weeks, and they're sitting here like, we don't know. I like Javon Baker. San Francisco likes him a lot. He'd be a good fit. He would sit behind Jennings and Ayuk and Debo. He wouldn't be a mainstay. Javon Baker, to me, when I think of Javon Baker, and Niner fans get very, very hesitant because, you see, middle of the draft, you're like, uh-oh, you know, this is where you have your Danny Grays, this is where you have, you know, you have missed on a handful of players before, and Javon Baker out of UCF, I mean, do you want to risk, and look, there are rumors now that Danny Gray was involved in the car accident with Rashee Rice, so I was already kind of out on Danny Gray, and those are rumors, those are just rumors, so don't take it as fact, it's all up in the air. And we're waiting to see what transpires with Rashee Rice, but they're SMU guys. There was a picture and a video. It kind of looked like Danny Gray, but, we'll wait and see what happens there. All that to say that if you are the Niners, are you okay drafting a receiver here and letting him sit? And I think for a player like Javon Baker, ran a 4.5, 37-inch vertical, he's 6'1". UCF, he's 202 pounds. Like, he's not, like, he ain't the biggest guy. He ain't the slowest guy. Like, he's just someone that you look at. He has good size. He is someone that kind of got his first go-round at UCF. Former Alabama receiver, transfers over. He's someone that's really good at separating in his routes, and he should get better as time progresses. He will work back to a quarterback making off-schedule throws. Brock Purdy, and he wins downfield pretty well. The annoying thing with him is that you want him to be more physical on balls downfield toward the boundary. He does have a drop sometimes, and I do think that, like, he isn't someone you're going to look at and say, man, he fits the mold of a Kyle Shanahan willing blocker. He doesn't mind running off defenders, which I do think, like, with his speed is valuable. Run him out deep, run off a nickelback, a cornerback, get him out of the play. But I think Kyle Shanahan would value a Juwan Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, someone you want to be a great run blocker. All that to say, maybe you just don't have him in there on running downs, right? So I'm going to go Javon Baker here. UCF, get that receiver Kyle Shanahan wants, get the burner they've been looking for a long time. I get Luke McCaffrey's there at 155. I think Jon Baker, who is scheduled for a top 30 visit, San Francisco, when they have a top 30 visit, pay attention. Pay attention. San Francisco gets their burner, their speedy receiver here, to likely replace Danny Gray if the whole Rashee Rice accident thing is the case. I don't think if you're the Niners, you double down on receiver here with Taj Washington. You already have your guard, your center. You've already taken two offensive linemen, which I think is huge for what they want to do. Tight ends are here. You have Theo Johnson from Penn State. Again, Mo Kamara, the guy I like, is just all the way down on the board. I don't know if you'd buy into that just yet. You don't want another running back. It's too early. But you also don't pick until 176. So there is a 40-pick gap. If I'm San Francisco, I pick 135. Maybe you do trade back. When you sit here and you go, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 edge rushers in front of Mo Kamara. Do you get a little greedy? And do you pick the guy you like? Or do you wait and just hope he's there? JD Durham in the chat. What's up, man? Hope you're doing well. Back to Mo Kamara for a second. Mo Kamara, to me, I don't think you wait if he's there. Like, Javon Solomon's there from Troy. He's got 34-inch arm. Crazy bend. Super explosive. Think like Josh Uche, Yannick Ngakoue. Like, just a pass-rushing specialist. Has a good first step. He's a pure pass rusher. 19% pass rush win rate. 16 sacks last year in 14 games for Javon Solomon out of Troy. You've let Javon Kinlaw go. Get yourself a second Javon in the room again on the defensive line. Then there's Mo Kamara, who, again, do you want to let him go and to see if he gets picked and pick elsewhere? You already let Marshawn Nealon go. He got picked in front of you when you didn't pick him then. Mo Kamara doesn't have great length, but he's got power. He's relentless with his effort. He's not this run-defending edge rusher that you like to have in that room. Like, if they'd have brought back Clelin Ferrell, Mo Kamara makes a lot of sense because, bang, you put him in there and you go, wow, we have a run-defending edge rusher with Ferrell. We have Matos. We have Leonard Floyd. But he's a fifth-year senior. Mo Kamara is out of Colorado State. 45 tackles for losses and 30 sacks and 5 forced fumbles. So in 5 years, he's averaging, what is that, 9 tackle for losses, 6.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble each season. Like, it just makes a lot of sense to have him in that room. But Javon Solomon's there. Again, crazy production, 34-inch arms, 16 sacks, like, just a pure pass rusher. I think you maybe go Javon Solomon here at pick 136. You're at pick 135. Solomon has a chance to be gone. Let's go Javon Solomon here. Get yourself an edge rusher. Man, this draft has fallen the way you like. Kyree Jackson goes to the Cardinals. Taj Washington, who I love out of USC, goes to the Patriots of all places. Man. So now we're going to sit here and wait and be patient because we don't pick until 176 as Luke McCaffrey goes to the Bengals. Him and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase in that room would be really fun. And again, it's a long gap from 132 to 176. Maybe they trade down. Maybe that makes some sense. Again, I don't want to do trades just yet, but they pick so close in the 130s. I could see San Francisco trading down, and hey, I'll be honest with you. If the Niners at pick 31 don't see the tackle they like, maybe you trade back. Like, let's say there's a handful of defensive tackles that are either on the board or have gone, and they're getting really thin. You either take a defensive tackle, or maybe you trade back. Like, anything is an option. I think the last time they were at pick 31, they traded up for Ayuk, so and they have 10 picks this year, so anything's on the table for the Niners. I just think that they're in a great place because there's so many great receivers. There's so many great defensive tackles in this draft. I just think, like, what San Francisco likes to do and be aggressive, also be really patient with their picks. Like, if there's a guy they like, they're going to go up there and they're going to go get him. But they're also not afraid to trade back and say, hey, let's stock some picks for next year as well. And as we sit here, like, I don't like a lot of the players on the board currently. But with there being no trade backs, he's on this drum, on this mock draft. and we don't pick until 211. We're at pick 176, and we don't pick until 211. Let's see the receivers here. Anaya Smith from Texas A&M. Probably too rich for him. I don't love the running backs on the board. Deshaun Edwards is still there, but I think pick 234 is where he's mocked here. It's a little too rich. If you get Brock Wright, you don't really need another. You don't really need another tight end. Do you look towards defense again? Do you go linebacker here? Maybe that's a potential option. I know the room is kind of filled. That's the thing. Like, the room is essentially filled. Like, you have Devondre Campbell when Greenlaw comes back. You have Demetrius Flanagan falls. Like, you have your depth in place. You have your starters in place, and then when Greenlaw comes back, you have more depth in that room, and you draft the two linebackers last year, which means nothing in the grand scheme of things, but I think they like D. Winters a lot. You've already got your cornerback. Do you want to go safety? They're still on the market for a safety is the issue. Like, if you're the Niners and you want a safety, Julian Blackman's still out there, I believe. Justin Simmons is still out there. Maybe Julian Blackman signed, but Simmons is still out there. And it seems like the reports of the Mike Silver reports of Talanoa Hufanga is not going to get his job back or isn't promised to get his job back just aren't the case. Like, that sure may not happen, but they seem to be wanting to add depth, not a starter now, which, okay, do you want to go through the draft and draft another young safety? I don't think so. I think they bring back Deshaun Gibson at that kind of the last resort of things. I have a hard time buying into the idea they go safety and have that be the potential starter in the room. You've already gotten your defensive tackle. You've already gotten a receiver. Mo Kamara is still there. Do you want to just go completely all in? You've gotten your right tackle. You've gotten your backup guard and center. You have plenty of depth now on your offensive line. You've already gotten your edge rusher. You've got your defense. Do you want to just go best player available? I think it's Mo Kamara. We're going Mo Kamara, and we're doubling up on edge rushers and hoping that one of those guys sticks. Your edge rusher room is Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, Mo Kamara, Javon Solomon. Like, this is a Robert Beal Jr., Drake Jackson. This is a go-and-get-it style of defense with San Francisco. Like, they want to have these guys read and react. And you want to get younger, obviously. Like, I think we've done so far a stellar job at adding to this team. Like, I don't want to get too vulgar, but, like, look at our picks so far this year, if we can see them in a second. Jordan Morgan, Braden Fisk, Andrew Phillips, Bo Limmer, Javon Baker, we got two Javons in a row. Didn't even notice that. Javon Solomon, and we have three picks left. Like, San Francisco is in a really good place if this is the draft class they have. Obviously, I'm being biased here, but, like, you have filled a ton of needs. You've gotten best players available, and you've gotten guys that they have been interested in for a while, and Andrew Phillips and Javon Baker. Like, you've won yourself the draft, or at least you've left much better than last season. We had Jake Moody and Cam Latu and Brayton Willis, and you're like, what the heck's going on? Like, last year San Francisco walked into the draft with not many needs, to be honest with you. And they left feeling like they filled none of them. Like, Jair Brown, right now, solid pick, right? But Jake Moody was like, what are we doing? And they didn't pick until, what, the third round last year, so they didn't have a pick at the litter, but Cam Law, too, you had Jake Moody, and I like Jake Moody. I think he'll be fine. I think Jake Moody redeemed himself in the Super Bowl. All that to say, Cam Law, too, not a great pick. You could have had a guard or right tackle at that point, albeit not a great player there, but could have had somebody else instead of Burford or even McKivitz or somebody else in that room. Like, this wasn't a lot of things you like to see, is how I'll put it. Let's get crazy here, though. We're at pick 211. Do we dare jump and put our feet into the running back pool if we're the Niners? Do you put your feet in the running back pool? Do you dip your toes and say, oh, as soon as Kyle Shanahan dips his toes in that water, do you say, I like this. I do think there's one running back I do like of the group on the board, and that's Dejon Edwards from Georgia. Again, it's running backs. You have McCaffrey. You want more reps for Jordan Mason. You have Elijah Mitchell. Like, is it a need? No, but you're down to pick, like, 211. Frank Gore Jr. is gone. Dejon Edwards is there. He's 5'10", 207 pounds. He's a workhorse. He runs a 4.7. That's not great, but he averaged 5.4 yards a carry the last 2 years at Georgia. Hit 20 touchdowns and just two fumbles. He needs to be more patient, and as a senior running back, I think you'd want that from him. You'd want it to be a more refined trade, if you will, for a five-year or for a senior running back. But he has great vision, accelerates really quick. The only issue is that he has great vision, but he likes to go to the outside too much, and he isn't the best pass protector. Now, again, those are things that you can learn with time. You can gain vision. Grendo's already gone, unfortunately. Sorry, JD. I love Isaac Grendo. I have been on the Grendo hype train pre-combine. Not there, unfortunately. So I think if they're going to dip their toe in the running back pool, they're going to go Dejon Edwards out of Georgia. Get your guy here. Let's not get too crazy. You pick in three more picks, you might as well go get your guy. He'll be the fourth guy. You can always sign some more as UDFAs. Just get the guy you like. You pick in three picks. You can go get somebody else afterwards, right? I don't think San Francisco in the draft. I don't think their mindset late in the draft, that pick 211, 215, 251 is like, man, like, we're going to get, you know, while they've hit on certain players, Dre Greenlaw, George Kittle, like DJ Jones, like, they're hoping these guys turn into big names and stuff, but, like, there's guys you believe in more than others, to be fair. But, like, if you like a running back at pick 211, take him. Like, there's no harm in that whatsoever, right? We've already gotten two edge rushers. We already got a defensive tackle. We already have a cornerback. Defensively, what else do you add? Do you add a safety? Do you add a linebacker? Maybe you add a linebacker. If you're on offense, you don't need a quarterback now. You have Josh Dobbs. You have Brandon Allen. You now drafted a running back. You have your receiver. Do you go tight end late here? I mean, none of these guys really give me the, oh, like, this guy is a standout kind of player. Like, and it's late. This is where you find your kind of your barn burners, guys that come in, you hope make the team, if they do, great. Here's the thing, though, is that, there's a player named A.J. Barner from Michigan, top of the draft board currently that we can see on the YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. Man, like, you're late in the draft. Do you want to pick another inexperienced, you know, could be amazing tight end? Like, this is where you pick a Cam Law to, right? This is not the third round where you take a chance on a guy who just converted the tight end 2 years ago. This is where you want your blocking tight ends, right? This is where you want your fringe roster guys. And A.J. Barner doesn't make sense. There really isn't anybody that truly stands out on the draft board currently. Like, man, like, this is where it gets tough, because if you're the Niners, what do? Like, there really isn't a name you point to and say, yep, I like that guy a lot. But there really isn't. And, like, you're in a position now late in the draft where you are going to be looking at prospects. Guys that take a couple years that you go, like, I do think he could be a player. I think in a couple years, he can be an impact on the team somewhere. And if you're the Niners, you have Kittle. You have, if Brock Wright signs and the Lions let him go, you have two tight ends locked up for, you know, 2-3 years. Like, you're looking at guys like Cam Latu, and you're looking at guys like Braden Willis that, well, simply, to put it simply, like, they're going to have a hard time making the team, right? I think a player like this, McCallum Castles out of Tennessee, right? Fits that slot, tight end. He's someone that, you know, he's a player that he'll need a couple years, but he's kind of he's a receiver more than a tight end, if that makes sense. Like, he can threaten players down the seam. He has really good hands, he has quick feet, catches well in traffic, shields the ball well. It's funny because he's not the best yak guy, and he's dropped a lot of balls despite having really good hands. Like, he has soft hands where he can catch the hard, you know, ball towards the sideline, down the seam. Like, man, this guy can do some stuff. But I do wonder, if you're the Niners, are you sitting here like, we can work with a guy like McCallum Castles? I think so. And I just don't find much value in many other players outside of him on the board. Like, you don't pick until 251. Like, Tip Reiman, I haven't brought him up yet. He's not going to be here at pick 215 from Illinois. And I want to make this relatively realistic. Hence why we didn't take Kyrie Jackson earlier. Like, Tip Reiman's like a top 10 tight end in this class. He's not going to be here. But let's go McCallum Castles, receiving tight end. I think San Francisco missed out on taking, I think his name was it Brandon Allen last year from Clemson? I'm forgetting his first name. But Clemson tight end last year. He went to the Rams, and I was like, are you kidding me? I think he should have been the pick instead of Latu. So let's go McCallum Castles. Not the best blocker, but he can be a good receiver. Shanahan likes those big slot guys. Might give them some workable flexibility in the future, right? I think McCallum Castles out of Tennessee makes a lot of sense. Again, this is also a time, like JD in the chat says, where they may not even be picking here. They could have traded those picks up, which I think they might. Like, 211, 215, 251, like, those could be non-existent come draft day, which, do you really need 10 picks? Some might say yes, but if you can get a guy earlier, if you get, let's say, hypothetically here, let's say you're in love with Mo Kamara, and in the fourth round, you don't pick for a while, and you see, you know, edge rusher, four or five edge rushers off the board at the same time, and Mo Kamara is there, he's your next guy, and you're worried someone's going to take him, this is where you trade up and say, hey, we'll give you our fourth round draft pick, and we'll give you a sixth. We want to get our guy, Mo Kamara, or Javon Solomon. These picks are almost relevant, but all that, keep that in mind, picks like this are what turn into Juwan Jennings and Dre Greenlaw and George Kittle. Like, I won't lie to you, when I was diving into this draft class and previous draft classes, especially last year's class, knowing that they had a pick in the first two rounds, like, it was like, who are the biggest sleepers? Like, the first rounds are always easier to pick from. It's more known talent. It's players that you can point to and say, hey, there's a scouting report on this player from seven different sources. The film is easy to find. Everyone's talking about this certain player. Like Jordan Morgan. Everyone's talking about Jordan Morgan. San Francisco seems to like him. Like, there are, you can find a lot on Jordan Morgan really fast. Then you get to rounds 4-7, and there's like, who the heck is this guy? Who is that guy? I have no idea. Now we're in the seventh round, near the end of the draft, and it's like, I don't care about any of these players. They're irrelevant to me. Like, honestly, who gives a rip, right? But now we're at pick 251. And it's like, seriously? Like, what are we doing? So, you don't need a punter. You ain't need a kicker. You could go safety here. You've gotten two edge rushers. You've gotten a cornerback. Like, do you go linebacker again? You drafted two guys last year who I think the Niners both like them a lot. Do you go cornerback? You have 10 picks. You're better making it 9 with a trade up? Like, what do you do? Do you go quarterback? You don't need one now. You don't need one at all, really. You have Purdy, who's your franchise guy. For the sake of my sanity and the sake of your sanity, we're going to make this pick a player I think they will try to sign as a UDFA. That's what we'll do here. It's pick 251. You're basically at the end of the draft anyways, right? You are borderline, 16 picks away from this being the end of the draft. You want to essentially do what they do with Brock Purdy here. Now, I'm not saying you want to find the next Brock Purdy. I'm just saying you want to find a guy that you know is not going to sign with you once he's a UDFA. Like, you have Purdy, you have Josh Dobbs, you have Brandon Allen. I think Devin Leary makes a lot of sense from Kentucky. PFN says he's 6'1", 215, accurate in short areas, leverage, throws away from defenders, gives receivers a chance, has good pre-snap recognition, and he's smooth in the pocket. Now, Devin Leary is someone that is constantly mocked to the Niners, not just by me, but I think, like, when I was diving into Brock Purdy a couple years ago, I didn't think he'd be this, which, thank God he is. I didn't think he'd be this. But him and Bailey Zappe, which there's obviously a big gap in between them, but assuming at the time Trey Lance was the guy, which he wasn't, but at the time he was going to be the guy, when looking at quarterbacks, it was, okay, who can be a backup to just get things done in case, at the time, Lance and Jimmy G go down? Now you're insulated there in that room a lot, but keep this in mind. Brock Purdy likes Brandon Allen a lot, and I think he makes the roster as that third quarterback again. I do think the Niners also want to bring in a fourth quarterback. I just think about this, though. Last year in training camp and OTAs, they were having a hard time getting reps for three quarterbacks. Four quarterbacks. It was Purdy at one, Trey and Darnold splitting at two, and on certain days splitting at one. And Brandon Allen was like, can I get a chance? That said, I think quarterback, just for the heck of it, makes a lot of sense here. Devin Leary's not going to sign with you in the UDFA pool. He knows I'm blocked by three guys. But while I do think all three guys make the roster, Purdy being an obvious one, Josh Dobbs being second obvious one, and Brandon Allen also being there, I'm not saying this will happen, but Brock Purdy also beat out a quarterback that had guaranteed money. Now, that was Nate Sudfeld, mind you. It was not Brock Purdy or Josh Dobbs or Brandon Allen, who Brock Purdy loves, by the way. I just think you want to get that guy in the room that you know is not going to sign with you. Like, you can go receiver again, but you got Javon Baker. That, like, the Niners receiver room, Debo, Ayuk, once he resigns, Jennings, Ronnie Bell, you have Chris Conley, which, okay, you have Danny Gray, you're going to go and add Javon Baker. You're seven guys deep, and you have some guys that are going to be off the roster that sign eventually or are UDFAs you bring in, right? Like, at safety, we didn't draft one because I do think they're going to add one, but you're going to have Hufanga, Jair Brown, you have Taylor Hawkins, you have George Odom, Hawkins may not be healthy, but you can always sign a safety elsewhere. Like, if they walked into minicamp, training camp, and OTAs with Brown, Hufanga as starters, Gibson as your third, maybe starter if Hufanga can't play, and Odom, you walk into next year with the exact same starting safety room, or safety room that they had last year, I think we're okay with that. Like, safety was not the issue last year for the 49ers. It was offensive line. They got two of them. We added some edge rushers. We added some interior guys. Like, I don't think they need a linebacker. Like, I don't think that's... Like, they got Devondre Campbell. They've got D. Winters. Like, they have Jalen Graham. You know, they have DFF. Like, there really isn't a guy you point to and you're like, man, like, we need to get that guy on our team. I think going quarterback for the heck of it makes sense. You get another guy in that room. If he beats out Brandon Allen, great. If he doesn't, you stash him for a year. Like, I will say this, though. Before we go, I do think Junior Colson from Michigan, if San Francisco wants to go linebacker, that man, whew. When we talk about the definition of thick, and I'm not saying T-H-I-C-K. I'm talking about T-H-I-C-C. He is thick. Great run defending linebacker. He's a Mike linebacker at Michigan. He's an average pass defender, but he's a thumper. He's someone that will destroy ball carriers. Not here at pick 251, mind you, but if there is a linebacker I like, it is Junior Colson. You put him in on running downs, and you're going to sit there and say, how did they let this guy go to the Niners? Now, again, there is some positional value questions in there, but if it's middle rounds, if it's, you know, third round, second round, you know, and San Francisco saying, hey, like, we're in love with Junior Colson, man, like, that guy is fun. All that to say... We're going to pick a quarterback, pick 251. We're going to go with Devin Leary. He just gets things done. He's not the greatest, you know, athlete. He's 6'1", 210, 215, whatever he was. Like, he can put the ball to where the receiver needs to go. He'll let the guys get yak, kind of like how Purdy's build was. Again, he's not Brock Purdy. I'm just saying, like, the archetype in which Brock Purdy was coming out. The archetype in which people think Brock Purdy is, just game manager, which he's not, but game manager. Devin Leary is the epitome of a game manager. I do think Leary has better arm talent coming out than Brock Purdy had, but I don't think he's the processor or the athlete Brock Purdy is either. So we'll go Devin Leary, quarterback out of Kentucky, making it, what, 2 of 3 seasons San Francisco goes quarterback to end their draft. And that's it. We have our draft in place. I know the finale wasn't exciting. I get it. But I just think quarterback, you get 4 guys in the room. You go there. You do it. You figure it out. And you walk in to the 2024 NFL season in our NFL Mock Draft 1.0 done live on Facebook and YouTube and X or Twitter. And I think you leave this mock draft. 10 picks, no trades involved. With the success, like, if this was the Niners draft class, and I'll go up here, you have Jordan Morgan at pick 31. You have Braden Fisk, defensive tackle from Florida State, just a wrecking ball kind of player next to Javon Hargrave behind Malik Collins, who is a non-guaranteed contract next season, or I guess in 2 seasons now, if you want to get particular with it. You get your nickel back with Andrew Phillips. It gives you some flexibility on the inside, the outside. Then you go at pick 124 and you find Bo Limmer, who's going to be guard to center, a guy that fights for every single play. Ain't the biggest guy. He'll get beat by Chris Jones, mind you, but as a center, as a left guard, right guard, he insulates that room, and you walk into next year with Trent, Banks, Brendel, Feliciano, Morgan as your starting 5, and behind them you have Jalen Moore, you have Nick Zakel, you have Bo Limmer, you have Spencer Burford, you have Colt McKivitz. Like, Brandon Parker is also there. Like, you have some bodies, some bigger guys, some depth in that room to say if some guy goes down, it's not going to be catastrophic. Then you go and get your burner and Javon Baker at receiver, UCF. He might find himself in Shanahan's doghouse. All that said, how often do the Niners play four receivers? It never happens. You could have argued Luke McCaffrey here. I get that. I wouldn't doubt if it happens. Of the three Nepo babies, if you want to call them that, Frank Gore Jr., Brendan Rice, and McCaffrey, I would lean towards McCaffrey being a pick, but San Francisco seems to like Brendan Rice a lot. We went Javon Baker instead. I think he makes more sense in this offense. Then back-to-back edge rushers, Javon Solomon and Mo Kamara. Just two pass-rushing dogs that have elite effort. Aren't the best run defenders, mind you, but will be feisty and nasty at getting to the quarterback. And knowing that you have to get younger and cheaper, finding two depth, you know, developmental, if you want to call them that, edge rushers that can go get the quarterback, that's a find. Like, Mo Kamara is stellar. If you don't know Mo Kamara from Colorado State, look him up. He will leave your jaw on the ground. Then running back, we went Dejon Edwards. I would like Isaac Grundo, but there is some injury history there. But all that said, I think Edwards makes a lot of sense. He can be, I won't call him a bell cow, but he's a workhorse. Give him a year in the offense. I think Shanahan will like him. And learning from McCaffrey, whereas a couple years ago, like, it was Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon and Tydavis Price and guys you were like, there really isn't the guy in the room you point to. You add Edwards into that room with Mitchell, who has a lot of injury history, Jordan Mason, who is a special teams guy. Like, Edwards probably wouldn't make the roster, but he'd be a lot of fun to watch in training camp and preseason, and I do think would make some stellar plays, and he could learn for a year behind McCaffrey. Be patient with his runs and find himself with a role in a couple years or so. Then you find your receiving developmental tight end later in the draft, pick 215, McCallum Castles. What a name, from Tennessee. Again, isn't the best guy. He's a guy, he's a fringe roster guy. He's not Braden Willis, but you have Cam Latu, who is a bona fide nothing at this point, off an injury. You got to get somebody else in there. You bring in five tight ends. You might as well bring back Ross Dwelly and Troy Fumagalli. Like, you want to have bodies in that room. McCallum Castle's a practice squad stash, maybe. Someone you want to see develop. He can put some more weight on, but he's a good receiver, and I do think on the off chance he actually finds a way to the roster, could be a good receiving / slot tight end in the NFL is your best case scenario. Then you go quarterback, Devin Leary. Did you need one? No. Did you pick one? Yep. He's a guy that just gets things done. Like, you filled a lot of needs. You got two offensive linemen, three defensive linemen, one defensive tackle, two edge rushers. You got your nickel back. You got a burner receiver. You found depth at running back, tight end, and quarterback. Man, like, did you need a quarterback? No, but it's pick 251. Get the best guy there. Devin Leary makes a lot of sense. And hey, if push comes to shove and a quarterback goes down, someone need a Josh Dobbs? Someone need a Brandon Allen? You know, somebody want a Devin Leary? I think, like, if Devin Leary became, what's his name? Oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. Will Greer. If Devin Leary becomes Will Greer and you're just trading him left and right for seventh round picks, by all means, best case scenario for the Niners at pick 251. All that to say, 10 picks off the board. What would you grade this mock draft? Jordan Morgan, Braden Fisk, Andrew Phillips, Bo Limmer, Javon Baker, Javon Solomon, Mo Kamara, Dejon Edwards, McCallum Castles, and Devin Leary. 10 picks, handful of depth, some starters, some impact players. What do you make of my NFL mock draft 1.0? Tell me in the comments below. You can tag me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Doesn't matter. Let's talk about this mock draft. I'm excited for it. I like it a lot. Obviously, some players that we can talk about later once 2.0 comes out very soon. But what did you make of NFL Mock Draft 1.0? Is there a prospect you're banging the table for? Tell me down in the comments. And also, you can follow me on X or Instagram. The X is 49ers underscore access. The Instagram is 49ers.access. Follow me on both those platforms, and let's talk about this mock draft and the NFL players or the prospects you want San Francisco to draft. Did you want a different tackle? Did you want Luke McCaffrey? If there's a prospect, let's dive into it. Let's talk about it, and let's dissect these players because they could all be future 49ers. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, wouldn't it be great if mock draft 1.0 was perfect and they picked all of these players? They won't. But wouldn't that be crazy? Just saying. All that said, though, it's April 1st, April Fool's Day. Hope you had a wonderful Easter, whether you celebrate the religious side or not, or just Easter eggs and candy. Hope you had a wonderful Easter. I had a great one. I had to work, unfortunately, but had brunch. It was awesome. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Easter time and a wonderful April Fool's Day. If you're watching Giants, Dodgers, and I'm in the corner making racket and noise, thank you so much. Go Giants, by the way. If you watched Iowa versus LSU, Caitlin Clark, oh my God, crazy, crazy stuff. And I do want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for liking, subscribing, and sharing. And again, don't forget to tell your friends what we're doing over here. Mock drafts. It's April. It's Mock Draft Monday Frenzy. Every single Monday of April, it's an NFL Mock Draft 2.0. Comes out next week, live. You're not going to want to miss it. And to do so, to not miss it, you have to like, share, and subscribe. Leave the review on the audio platforms. Turn the bell notifications on YouTube. You do not want to miss what we are doing here. 10 draft picks today. Who knows what it could be in 1 week's time. Maybe your favorite draft prospect gets picked. And also, I want to leave you with this. I want to first say, if you're going to a baseball game, football game, NBA game, use our promo code at SeatGeek.com and save yourself $20 off your first purchase. It's 49ERSACCESS at SeatGeek.com to save yourself $20 off your first purchase. I do want to end on a sour note, unfortunately. I want to give my condolences to one of the Niner faithful, and that is to say Vernon Davis. His brother passed away today, Vontae. Very sad. I have no idea what happened, but I want to send my heart to Vernon, his family, and to Vontae. Again, I have no idea what happened. Just woke up and saw the news and said, oh my goodness, there's no way. I have had a very, very small interaction with Vernon over time. Working in radio, whenever I text Vernon, he's always the kindest, nicest man. Very flexible with the schedule. He's awesome to work with. And I'm sure Vontae was the exact same way. So I do want to give my condolences to the Davis family. Thoughts, prayers, and as Niner faithful, let's round and group around him and show him some love as they go through this tough time. Give them peace, give them space, but let's show Vernon Davis some love in his family as they go through a tough time losing their brother Vontae. Again, no idea what happened, but I saw it and I said, you gotta be kidding me. Like, Vontae, Dolphin, Colt, Bill, like, he was a cornerback that was the toughest game when I was growing up, and I was always hoping that Vernon and Vontae would get together at some point. Never happened. But again, hearing he's 35 years old, it was crazy. But I do want to send my condolences out there to the Davis family. Horrible. Horrible news. All that said, Vernon, we got you. Hope you're okay. Hope you had a wonderful Easter to those listening and watching. And later this week, some news breaks. We'll be here. But next Monday, mock draft 2.0. Don't miss it. And come back right here. YouTube, X, Facebook. You do not want to miss Mock Draft 2.0. This is Mock Draft 1.0. We're just getting cooking on April. This is Mock Draft Monday frenzy. This is Mock Draft Monday month. You do not want to miss a single one leading up to the 2024 NFL Draft. All that to say, like always, until next time, my name is Sterling Bennett, and stay faithful.